I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The year I turned 10 years old, my mom, who had custody of me after my parents divorced, and I moved into a spacious 2-bedroom apartment in what is statistically considered one of the safest cities in America. We moved out just a few years ago, after my grandmother passed away, but I spent 12 years living in this place. The apartment was one of 5 in our building. You know how a duplex has 2 units in the same building, split down the middle? This building was quartered into 4 units with an added unit on the lower level. We had the unit above the lower level unit. Our landlord at the time was kind of a dipshit. If something broke and needed fixing or replacing, he would come and attempt to fix it himself, instead of just hiring an expert, and all the while he'd make comments about how women break things. What can I say? Anyway, at the time of my story, I'm 13 years old. Our dumb landlord rents out the lower level unit to a lovely young couple. For anonymity, I'll call them George and Lisa. On the night they moved in, I remember they had music just blasting from their new home as they moved furniture and boxes down the stairs with their friends. It was uncharacteristically loud for the neighborhood, but none of us other residents actually had a problem with it. They seemed pleasant enough. The pleasantness lasted about a week before George and Lisa started having these blowout screaming matches. My mom and I would hear her start screaming and cussing at him. He'd try to get her to back off and calm down. And then they'd move on to the next stage, which was slamming and throwing random shit at each other. Always after an hour or so of this, things would go quiet, and then Lisa would be heard in the back of the house, where the bedrooms were, just sobbing. There was one day where I heard Lisa walking around outside, having a conversation with herself in different voices. A few more weeks, and we began to notice that George and Lisa got a lot of strange visitors at strange times, who always seemed intoxicated and sometimes banged on our huge living room window without knowing whose window it was. When it was very quiet, I heard scraping sounds coming from the kitchen area, a lot, One time I heard George and Lisa having the most obnoxious sex I have ever heard. Oi. The night things went too far for us was when a woman showed up at 3 a.m. with an empty milk jug and starting ringing every doorbell to our building and scratching at the front door, trying to get in and moaning or yelling for George and Lisa. She disappeared after a few minutes, and suddenly we hear the back door to the building jiggling, and you could tell there was now more than one person trying to break in. My mom called the police, and we gathered our things and went to a restaurant for breakfast, exhausted after no sleep, and then went and booked a hotel for the night. We just couldn't deal with them again. After we complained to the landlord and the police multiple times, things got quiet and really awkward between us and the neighbors. And that's when the FBI showed up. I shit you not. I go to answer the door and a man and a woman ask if they can talk to my adult. I say sure and lead them to our unit, which we always kept open during the day anyway. And right there they open a binder and show us photos of George and Lisa. They ask if we happen to have seen them before and we're like, they live downstairs. It turns out they're both living under false identities, major fraudsters, and dealing cocaine. Shortly after this, George and Lisa moved into the apartment building across the street and were arrested within a month. So that's it. That's kind of my boring story about living above felons. This happened a few years ago, and it still creeps me out thinking about it. I moved out of my mom's house and got my own apartment after moving states for the first time. It looked like a predominantly safe neighborhood. I'm into true crime, so I'm always overly cautious. Anyway, about a few weeks after I moved in, my apartment on the bottom floor flooded because the washer in the upstairs apartment was turned on and no one was there to shut it off. I barely unpacked, so I didn't really have anything to catch this water flooding in from my ceiling. It was after business hours, and the emergency number was just a reroute to the apartment main line that was closed after hours. I was running around knocking on doors, hoping someone would answer so I could grab a bowl or something to hold this water until I could get a hold of someone in the emergency maintenance. The guy directly across from me finally answered, and I frantically explained my situation and asked for a bowl or something. He started to say he didn't have anything until he could literally hear and see all the water. He ran back to his place and pulled out this massive plastic storage bin. We rotate on switching out bins of water until Rainbow showed up to save the day. My living room and kitchen were soaked, but my place was still livable. I told the guy thank you, then was going back until he stopped me and invited me to stay at his place for the night. I told him it wasn't necessary, my place was okay, and he insisted. He claimed he was getting ready to go to work, but he went back in his apartment, grabbed his key, cleaned off his couch and his bed, and said I could stay for the night, and he'll come in the back door around 3 a.m. He wasn't giving up, so I took the key until he left, and then I returned his bin and the key and went back to my apartment and avoided this dude like the plague, red flag one. A couple weeks later, I would take my dog out to go potty. I could hear this neighbor door open and close, so I would try to time it safely to avoid him. Unfortunately, it seemed like he was doing the same to me. Is open my door and he happens to be leaving at the same time to try and talk. He stops me and starts asking about my family, if I'm from here, if I have family close. Red flag too. After about 6 months of this bobbing and weaving this weirdo, I take my dog out before bed to go potty. I would purposely walk around the back in order to avoid walking in front of this guy's apartment window, who now had his blinds open all the time so he couldn't see me. I get out, walk to the back, and just have this eerie feeling of someone watching me. I look behind me, and I see this guy peering around the corner just staring at me. He noticed me notice him, and he goes back and I hear the door close. I start second-guessing if I locked my door, I locked it every time I left. Even if I walked 2 feet, I go back, check my door, then head back out the same way. I take my dog out for about 10 minutes. walk home, and I can hear his door and keys as I'm about to approach my door. I hide around the side waiting him out. I hear his door close, but he doesn't leave. He's just standing there juggling his keys. It's cold out and my pup is freezing. I decide to take my chances and go to my door. As soon as I walk out, he's standing there and says, "Oh, sorry about earlier. I thought I saw someone walk by. Keep in mind, I walked in the back to purposely avoid him noticing me." I quickly said okay and went inside my place. It clicked. There is no way he could have known when I took my dog out and came back home, unless he was peeping through the peephole and saw me. The last straw and red flag flashing in spotlights. I finally email my management, sending them the complaint, and explained everything I just did. Within the next few weeks, the dude moved out without a blink of an eye. I've had many creepy encounters like this, so stay tuned. Just be aware and listen to your gut. This past weekend, my boyfriend, 30 male, and I, 23 female, went to his brother and sister-in-law's house for a birthday dinner. Their names are John and Maria, and they have two older sons, Mark 26 and Bill 23. Just to set the story, their house is in a gated community in a pretty affluent area of town. The dinner was attended by some family friends, as well as my boyfriend's 18-year-old niece, Carla, and 19-year-old nephew, Joe. The dinner started winding down around 11:30 p.m., and my boyfriend and I were getting ready to leave. I had picked up some things for Carla earlier in the day, so she was walking outside with me to get them from my car. We were followed outside by my boyfriend, Joe, and Bill as they chatted about sports. They stopped in the driveway, still talking, while Carla and I started walking towards my car, which was parked 1-2 houses down the street at the corner. As we're walking to my car, I notice a figure standing in the driveway of a house directly behind my car. The figure was maybe 50 feet away from my car, standing slightly hunched over and facing my car. I stared at him, clearly a man, for 2 or 3 seconds and whispered to Carla to look at him. We started walking at a much slower pace and continued staring at the man standing in the driveway. He had a jacket with the hood on, and the way he was standing didn't allow us to see his face. He was facing away from the light over the garage directly behind him. By nature and upbringing, I'm very paranoid. I'm a petite female, as is Carla, and this man set off every alarm in my body. I felt a surge of adrenaline, and I tried to assess the situation and see what I could do if he tried anything. If he did try anything, how much damage could he inflict until the guys noticed and helped us? Was he waiting for the last group to leave the house? Trying to rob someone? Scoping out houses, and we caught him in the act. We continued walking, and I didn't take my eyes off him for a second. I tried to memorize every detail about his appearance, just in case. We continued to my car, got the things, and turned around to walk back to the driveway, where my boyfriend, Bill, and Joe were still talking, oblivious. I nearly walked backward to keep my eye on this man in the driveway. The entire time we were walking to and from my car, this man didn't move a single muscle. He didn't even sway as if shifting his weight from foot to foot. It was a very cold night for our area at least, probably between 35-40 Fahrenheit and windy. It's late at night, and this guy is standing in a driveway in the cold and not moving a muscle. He wasn't smoking, as his hands were in his pockets. I'm not sure if he was the homeowner, as I don't live in that neighborhood, so he could even just be a random person. We practically ran back to the driveway where the guys were while trying to keep an eye on this guy at the same time. I quickly told my boyfriend about some guy standing in that driveway. All the guys looked and saw him still standing in the exact same place, in the exact same position. Bill told my boyfriend and me to go ahead and walk to our car, while he made sure the guy didn't pull anything. We walked slowly to the car, keeping an eye on him. I hopped in the driver's seat, locked the doors, and looked into the rearview mirror and still saw the man standing there. I drove forward, turned around to exit the street, and stopped at the stop sign in front of the driveway the man was standing in. My headlights shone over him, but I was still unable to see his face. Once again, he still hadn't moved a muscle in the 5 minutes all of this took place. He was so still I almost thought he might have been a mannequin, and someone was pulling a prank. We drove out of the gate and headed towards the highway. I had my boyfriend text Maria to let her know about this guy standing outside. She texted back a few minutes later and said that John went outside, and the man was still standing there. As we were on the highway and nearly home, roughly 10-15 minutes after leaving John and Maria's house, she called me and said the man was still outside and hadn't moved. We haven't been to their house since this weekend. I have no idea what the man was doing or where he went. Maria hasn't mentioned anything happening in their neighborhood, so maybe a creepy homeowner. But for real, who stands outside their house in the middle of the night? So last night, around 11 p.m., I was downstairs sitting at a table that faces the window in front of the backyard. My backyard is fenced, and right outside the fence is a golf course where deer usually stay. I've seen a coyote once, but in my front yard, although people have seen them in the golf course before, keep in mind, I'm in Texas. Anyways, at this time, I heard something crying from the left of the window. At first, I thought it was my sister watching a TikTok video where the little boy that lives with us crying, but it wasn't. Everyone was in their rooms, and I was the only one downstairs to hear this. This cry sounded like a baby wailing, wah, wah, about twice, and then the sound diminished quickly. I could have sworn I heard footsteps outside or someone else there possibly making the baby or animal stop. Like maybe very soft coaxing that was hard to make out. I may have just been extremely paranoid at that point because I couldn't move out of my seat since that sound was so disturbing. The supposed baby sounded like they were in pain. My eyes were tearing up like, why? I don't believe in any ghosts or paranormal activity, but it was hella creepy. It's crazy because to the left of my backyard is the house of the friendly old neighbors I know, and they do not have kids. They have dogs who only bark loudly occasionally during the daytime. I do think I saw the car of someone visiting parked in their driveway yesterday, but I don't know about any babies. The sound was just too close to the window for it to be a neighbor whose backyard is like 50 feet away. Someone mentioned to me it could be someone playing an audio of a baby crying to lure me outside and kidnap me. Our neighborhood really doesn't have that stuff happening. And I don't know if anyone would climb our tall fences. Our fences also make loud noises when closed. Maybe the person entered or climbed from the short fence with a gate to the golf course, but who would be there at night? Some of our lights are activated by motion sensor, too. I looked up videos of animal noises because another person suggested it was a Fisher cat, but I'm obviously in the south in Texas. Also, the Fisher cat sounds like a high-pitched adult crying and not a baby. I listen to foxes, raccoons, deer, mountain lions, and bullfrogs, but nothing LOL. If someone could please give me ideas, that'd be great. I wish I could have recorded it, but it was so quick, and my memory is low-key starting to fade. I used to live in a brick house that had lots of neighbors. My backyard had a fence that kept our dog in. Every other day I'd catch my neighbor peeking over the fence around nighttime. It looked like he was trying to get a view into our windows from our big glass sliding back door. Every time he noticed that I saw him, he'd bend down where I couldn't see his face peeking over the fence. This happened for months, but one day I let my dog out at midnight and I closed the door. About 5 minutes later, my dog started barking like he saw someone, so I went outside to check and saw my dog barking towards the tree that was in my backyard. I thought he was just barking at an animal until I saw my neighbor's face peek around the tree and quickly hide again. I called my dog to come back inside and called the cops. The cops got there in around 10 minutes and arrested my neighbor. Thank you. At the age of 21, I moved in with my cousin in a house nestled deep in the woods. Our home was in a place called Van Leer, situated between Dixon and Aaron, Tennessee, surrounded by dense forests. Living there meant being a good 45 minutes away from the nearest city. It's like the smallest town you've ever seen. Picture this, you can zip through the whole place in just 2 minutes and wave hi to all 12 local shops. Beyond that, it's mostly farms breaking up the big patches of woods in between. Oh, and there's this random gas station stuck right in the middle of a fork in the road, pointing towards where I live. Sometimes you'll catch a glimpse of cows or horses grazing in the fields. It's a quiet place, with only a few people buzzing around, and everyone knows everyone else. I moved in with my cousin in November of 2011, a week before my birthday. Sometimes we had parties, but most days we just did our own thing. When we weren't working, we played video games and watched movies together. The house was made by the people who lived there before us, and they let us stay for only $250 a month. That was just enough to cover the taxes on the house each year. The house had 3 bedrooms. The main bedroom was downstairs next to the living room. There was also the back room, which used to be an open porch before they put up full walls. Upstairs was the loft where I slept. All the bedrooms and bathrooms were on one side of the house, and on the other side, there was the kitchen and living area. We hung out a lot in the living room with our TVs and game systems. They were all on a 12-ft wall between the doors so there wouldn't be any glare from the windows. We also had our meals in the living area. This brings me to one of my tasks. I had to take out the kitchen scraps and dump them at the edge of the woods, about half a football field away from the front porch. I did this almost every day for many months after moving in because it meant I didn't have to wash the dishes. When I went out to dump the scraps, I got used to seeing raccoons, possums, deer, rabbits, and sometimes even foxes or coyotes. At first, the coyotes made me a bit nervous because all I could see were their eyes, or I'd hear sniffing and panting while walking to the dumping spot. Nothing ever really bothered me. They all knew that once I dropped the food and walked away, it was free for them to grab. But in September 2012, I started having a new visitor who showed up regularly, and this one was way bigger than any coyote or dog I knew. I went out like always to toss out the scraps from dinner that night, but it was strangely quiet. No coyotes howling, no raccoons or possums making their usual sounds. As I walked, I felt the hairs on my arms stand up, but I figured it was just because it was getting colder, and maybe that's why there were fewer animals around. But when I got to the dumping spot and poured out the scraps, something really big growled at me, and I could feel it deep in my bones. So, I quickly finished scraping out the pot and slowly stepped back from the line of trees. I noticed a pair of yellowish eyes reflecting a little to the left of where I dumped the scraps. I kept staring at it as I moved backward, never taking my eyes off the creature. When I got inside, I told my cousin that there was a big animal out there tonight. I suggested we keep the porch light on to watch it in case it comes too close to the house. The rest of the night was quiet, but after that, whenever I took out the scraps, that creature would be there waiting for me to drop the food and step back. Its growl always gave me the chills. I never saw more than its eyes, and after about a month, it stopped growling when I came out, even though I could still see it watching me from the woods. Fast forward to December. The ground was all covered in snow, and it got really cold. I kept giving food to that creature thing, even when Christmas came around. Then, my cousin and I went to stay with family for the holidays, and we were away for about a week. When we came back, we had lots of extra food. After bringing everything inside and getting comfortable, my cousin fell asleep on the couch in the living room, and I went to bed in my room upstairs. That night, I woke up feeling thirsty and went downstairs to get some water. As I was going down the stairs, I heard a little thumping noise from downstairs. Peeking over the railing and seeing my cousin still asleep on the couch, I thought maybe something was on the porch. Sometimes raccoons or turkeys would show up. But when I looked through the big glass doors, I didn't see anything. It was really cold, like 7 Celsius, so I didn't open the doors. I went into the kitchen while still keeping an eye on the doors in the living room. That's when I saw something, a head like a big dog poking around the side of the door. The head was really big, and it started sniffing against the glass door. I got a little scared when I saw it, but then I thought it was just a really big dog, maybe the one I've been giving food to for the past few months, so I started to feel more relaxed. Remembering I was away for a week, I thought that the thing might be hungry, so I took some turkey from the fridge, planning to throw it out the kitchen door onto the porch for it to eat. But when I turned back from the fridge and looked at the door, I froze at first when I saw its head. It was about 3 feet off the ground, but now I was looking up at the creature's face. It was standing on 2 legs, way taller than me. It had to bend down to look through the door. I'm 6 feet tall, and my cousin is 6'5". His head just about touches the top of his door frame. So this creature was easily 7 feet tall.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I was shocked and couldn't move, really scared. What scared me even more was that the thing reached for the door handle to the sliding glass door and started pulling on it. My heart was beating fast, and I heard the frame hitting against the door lock. But thankfully, we hadn't unlocked them since we got home. Right then, my cousin started waking up. He rolled off the couch, still half asleep, and walked towards the bathroom. That's when he saw me standing frozen in front of the glass door near the kitchen. He was about to say something when he noticed the dark figure at our door. The creature looked at him and growled. My eyes went back and forth between the two before I stepped closer to the kitchen door. My cousin, stuck in one spot, was really scared by what he saw. I grabbed the kitchen door handle and unlocked it. My cousin, barely making a sound, asked me in a whisper what on earth I was doing. I yanked the door open and quickly tossed the plate of turkey outside, then slammed the door and locked it. The creature saw the food flying towards the yard, gave me one more look, and leaped off the porch to get the food. My cousin grabbed me and took me upstairs to the loft bedroom, which had a strong door. We stayed in that room all night, listening for any sounds. After a few minutes, we could hear it trying the door again, sniffing its nose against the window. It tapped on the window for a few minutes when it found out the door wouldn't open. Eventually, it went away and vanished into the woods. The next morning, I took the scraps out, but I was too scared to go all the way to the woods. Even though this werewolf thing didn't really act mean to us, I was too scared to go outside at night after that. Sometimes we'd see something in the yard at night, usually close to where I threw the scraps. Each time we spotted it, we'd turn off the TVS and lights and watch until it went back into the woods. Even though we don't know exactly what it is, having something like this around as a neighbor is both fascinating and scary. So this happened to me over the past weekend. A little backstory is required here for understanding. My girlfriend has lived in this old house, which is divided into a downstairs and upstairs apartment, with hers being downstairs. This past summer, the college kid who lived above her graduated and moved back to the state next to us, and I moved in. We usually will hang downstairs since she has a large, comfortable sectional couch, and I have a not-so-comfortable love seat and less comfortable chair in our respective living rooms, which we were doing this past Sunday. As we are hanging out watching movies on Prime, I headed up to my apartment just for a second to grab a beer and some Irish cream. As I am turning on the light, I noticed a couple of green beams like laser pointers on one of the curtains on one of my living room windows. There is a small house next to ours where two teens live with their parents, so I figured it was the kids messing around. Curious, I open up the curtain and look down. Nobody in their backyard, so I observe the immediate neighborhood. I see in the rear window of an upper floor room in a house around the corner from us with a guy standing in it. He has some object with three small green lights on it and also appears to be scanning the neighborhood. The room he is in is dark, but I can see his shadowy figure. Even stranger yet, I am fairly sure that room is a bathroom because I have seen shirtless males going in and out with towels over their shoulders. The house is like maybe 100 to 150 feet from ours, so I can see it well. The two guys who live there are newer residents as they just moved into the house, not long after I moved into my apartment. Why is this guy standing in his bathroom, and what is he doing? As I stand there trying to figure it out, he looks directly at me, staring at him out my window. All of a sudden, the green's lights beam around quickly, and he darts out of that room. Not the super creepiest thing in the world, but definitely strange for sure. Especially since he saw me watching him, then bolted. Any ideas of what the thing with green lights was? This takes place about 5 years ago when I was 18. I am a girl, if this helps make sense a little bit. I had moved to Missouri to stay with my grandparents while they helped me lose weight, go to college, and find a job. Where we lived had a bunch of hills, really steep hills, so part of my exercise would be to walk the mile to my college and back up and downhill to gain leg strength. One day, as I'm making my way up the first hill a couple houses down, one of my older neighbors was standing outside with his dog. He waved at me, didn't think much of it as I had earbuds in, so I waved back. He took my wave as an invitation to talk. He introduces himself as Neil. Being socially awkward as hell, I didn't stop him and just made small talk for a bit. He asked me my name, how old I was, what I was doing, how I'm doing, etc. All while I'm petting his dog. Now, I didn't mind answering. He was clearly in his 50s or 60s, probably just wondering about the new face in the neighborhood. After a few minutes, I got uncomfortable enough to make an excuse of getting out of there to continue on my walk. He happily said he would walk with me to continue the conversation. I died a little inside, but just said sure, figuring the hills would wear him out and head turn around. He eventually did and walked back home with his dog, leaving me alone. I did maybe half the walk and speed walked back home to avoid another interaction. A week or so later, I hear a knock on our side door. I open it up, and there's the neighbor. I freaked out a second before he asked where my dad was. I told him my grandpa was home, and again, he asked to see him. So I yelled for grandpa. He came up the stairs, saw the guy, and went outside and shut the door. I could hear heated words between the both of them for a minute or so before grandpa came back inside. Our road had a long gate that was mostly locked because of people speeding through, making it unsafe for little ones to come out and play. Not to mention the near 90 turn that happens shortly down the road, so people don't plow right into one of my neighbor's house. Apparently, because our closest neighbor would unlock it for a shortcut when I would get a ride to college, old neighbor took this as us disrespecting him. Even though it wasn't his gate, he didn't like the fact that grandpa would drive through with his Jeep, which is why grandpa pretty much told him to F off with his shit. I relayed this story to my grandma later on that night. Considering WTF, how crazy is this guy? Telling her about how he's overly friendly with me and will talk to me every time he sees me. She acts a little shocked and asks me, which neighbor? The one two houses down, right after the gate. I said, oh, that's the guy that killed his wife. My grandma says nonchalantly. My heart skipped a beat and I asked her what she meant. She then goes to tell me his name. It's not Neil, about how he had a history of abuse with his wives or girlfriends, burning them with cigarettes, beating them, and ends with the last one he had murdered his last wife by taking her out to the garage, duct taping her to a chair with over 100 feet of duct tape and setting her on fire. I'm speechless at this point and just ask her how she knows this. There is a book about him. About his crimes, how he had murdered his wife and went to trial for it in the 80s or so. He ended up spending 4 years in prison. My neighbor who owned the gate owns a copy of said book. It was a huge thing back then. Even when I told my other grandpa his name, he knew who I was talking about. I actively avoided him after that, fearing he was grooming me or something. About a month or so after finding all this information out, I'm walking home and I see county sheriff's cars outside his house. I'm walking by just looking out of curiosity and his dog sees me and runs over, wanting pets, which I happily give. I hear someone yell out the dog's name and it was the woman he was living with, I guess his girlfriend. She came and scooped up the dog, apologizing, and I just cowls and stop looking at her face. She was beaten, her eyes swollen, bruised around the sockets, bloody cheeks and tear-stained face. I asked her if she was okay out of instinct, and she just told me she was fine before walking back over to the cops. Found out he beat the shit out of her AMD. The cops were just waiting to get him on something, so they brought as much as they could to his house to get him. Turns out he jumped on the semi-truck of the guy that lived across the street, and last I had heard, the semi made its way to Colorado. So, that's the story of how I ran into a killer. This is a bit more scary than creepy for me, but my next door neighbor had a very, very bad marriage to a very psychotic woman. They had arguments every single day for months till they divorced and moved out rental property. He moved one block up the road and started causing problems for the people over there, which came to a head when he started walking up and down the street with a handgun. Cops were called, and by the time they got there, he had barricaded himself in his home, threatening to shoot someone with him later, found out no one else was in the house with him. He was in there for about 3 hours before he gave up. We were in a neighborhood with a lot of kids. There was this one guy who was 15 years older than the majority of us. Sometimes he'd play with us when we were outside, but we'd never invite him inside, and he never asked. He'd just play games with us. It was almost wholesome. I remember we were playing catch, and we wanted to take a break and get water. He asked if he could come in to have water too, because he didn't want to walk all the way home just for water. And then come back, we didn't think anything of it, and said, of course, friend. When he was inside, he said he had to use the bathroom, 15 minutes later, we went looking for him and found him in my room, in my walk-in closet. He looked up and said, "Oh, sorry, I got distracted, ready to play more." As a kid, I was just like, weirdo. But as an adult, I wish I asked him to leave and told my parents. I literally had to wear pull-ups at night, still bladder problems, and this guy was rummaging through my room as if he was my big brother. Not so much creepy as real sad. She was a lady of around 50 or so, and she'd previously been homeless. She lived in the house next to mine, which was government housing. She didn't like her house and would spend her days begging in the city. At night, when she was home, she would smash things in her house and yell sporadically. Her accent would change based on her mood. On the day this story takes place, she spoke with a French accent. One day I came home from work and she was pacing back and forth on the footpath outside our houses, and I stopped to ask what was wrong. She told me she'd locked herself out of her house and insisted I help her break in. Asked if I had a crowbar or a hammer or something. I didn't, but I did have a phone, so I offered to call a locksmith. She shouted that she didn't need a locksmith, she needed the police. I didn't understand how the police were going to help in this situation, but she was very insistent. I gave her my phone and she called the police. After a heated exchange, she threw my phone to the ground in frustration, yelled something along the lines of F, pigs, and began to pace again. She started telling me stories about her life. She'd been orphaned at a young age and had lived in institutions for most of her life. When she spoke about the places she'd lived, her French accent disappeared entirely, and she spoke with a very pronounced Australian accent. She told me about her health. It wasn't the best, and she had 7 hernias. She offered to show me. I declined. She showed me anyway. She asked me for a crowbar again. I told her I didn't have any tools, and she screamed. She told me that I should be the one to call the police. They'd listen to me. I called the non-emergency line, and the woman who took my call audibly sighed when I gave the address and name. This was not the first time this neighbor had been locked out of her house, apparently. Within 5 minutes, 2 squad cars and an ambulance arrived. My neighbor explained in her French accent that all she needed was a crowbar. Her request was refused, and the police took her away. Months later, I was at a party and made references to my neighbor, and the dude I was talking to said, "Is that neighbor with the 7 hernias?" Apparently, my neighbor was a regular at the bottle O this dude's wife worked at. She'd approach the window of the bottle shop, raise her shirt, and press her stomach up against the glass. This served as a distraction while her friend put bottles of port down his pants. I've since moved out of that house, but I still see her from time to time in the city, always in the same spot. Two different, still active neighbors. First one was a woman knocking on my door. No car. It was odd, and I didn't know she was my neighbor 2 doors down. Anyway, she proceeds to tell she's a neighbor, which clears up the car thing, then asks me why her phone GPS shows that she's at my house. I'm an IT guy by trade, so I have a lot of scenarios. Her husband evidently looks at her Google Maps locations, and it shows she is at my house, and that hackers must be in her phone. I blow it off and she leaves. Eventually I meet the husband and he's straight up tinfoil hat. Government is out to get him. The other neighbor who happens to live next to tinfoil hat man bought a vacant 3-acre lot estate sale next to me and adjoining his other property next to it. I tried to get an acre of it when it was selling, but didn't happen much to my chagrin. I got 20 feet. The 20 feet is relevant because the trees that line my driveway are actually on the property of the vacant lot. Anyway, before he even signs the paperwork to buy it, he comes over asking if I plan to take care of them. If not, he's going to cut them down. They are decorative trees and would look pretty lopsided if they lined one side of the driveway. Well, now I own both sides, so the trees are my problem. But he got me in the end. His property line extends 12 feet past mine, and he loves to drive his truck through the empty lot through this 12 feet, which just so happens to be my driveway and culvert. His repeated driving had damaged my driveway and causing it to sink. Because the driveway is in a right-of-way, it's on me to fix it, and I can't stop him from driving over it. This douche nozzle, though, feels the need to walk to the property line and stare at what's happening on my property. He cleared all of the trees and brush that gave us privacy from the two neighbors behind us. I forgot to mention the swing he has in this empty lot that faces our house. He creeps my kids out, so now we are looking to put up a privacy fence. Two years ago, a daughter of our neighbor moved to a destroyed barn, which is right next to our house, that has no electricity, internet, etc. We've been told by her mother that she is a nice person, and that she recently got released from asylum, maybe something a bit different. But I can't remember 100% what it was because of some mental illness she had. About 2 weeks in, she started buying spray paints in order to spray walls and roof. When we asked her why, she said so that she can see better at night since she still had no electricity. Eventually, she went through about 20 spray cans that she didn't throw away but kept them. One particular evening, she set them all on fire, making them explode, and the explosion caused a little fire by her and our house. The fire lasted for about half an hour, covered around 50 meters, and she did nothing to put it out. In about 20 minutes after the fire was put out, police knocked on our door asking what happened. Later we learned that she called cops on us because she thought that we don't like her and that we wanted to kill her. Before this incident, we've had a nice relationship with her. Since she has no electricity, she came every day to our house so that she can charge her tablet, have some drinks, etc. When cops came to visit, the spray paints explosions were so loud that our mayor noticed, gave us a visit, and right as he came, she called cops second time because she thought that the mayor came to help us get rid of her. Next day, she was taken to a mental institute, and I didn't get to see her for next 18 months. Had one neighbor that I lived directly next to for 2 years, and then three houses down from him for another 3 years. Literally only saw him one time. His entire yard was overgrown and unkempt. Like 4 feet tall and more grass and weeds so thick you couldn't walk through it on an entire acre. The one time I saw him, I wasn't even sure it was him until he went in his house. He had about 1 million cats and a very nice RV falling to pieces in his backyard. I can't explain why he seemed so weird, but holy shit, how do you never bother cutting the grass, even if just the front yard? Had another neighbor who used to come over and hit on me a lot. Kept calling me a good girl and invited me to come over in a bikini and drink beer with him. Dude must have thought I was dumb as hell. Never took him up on his very kind offer. Dirty old man. My neighbor is my uncle. Middle-aged, creepy. Every time we come into his house, there are a lot of porn DVDs laying around. He is into conspiracy theories and all that shit. He gets into trouble very easily because he is deeply convinced that everyone is following him. He shouts at the postman, at people in grocery store, basically at everyone. Once he went in the main square of the town to see fireworks, and punched a guy who was recording the fireworks on his phone because he was deeply convinced that the guy was recording him on the behalf of the government. He is a flat earther, an anti-vaxxer, and convinced that the government is composed by holograms under the secret rule of lizard people. Wish I was kidding. His girlfriend is not a bad woman, but she ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She has 2 sons from a previous marriage. One isn't exactly brilliant, but can build professional bikes from the ground up, and is overall an okay guy, very into cycling and sporty. The other was the sweetest kid at some point started to become exactly like my uncle, very withdrawn, and every time he sees you, he stares into your soul without blinking for 5 minutes straight. He never talks outside of the house, never. We don't live in the USA, and my dad sometimes says that if we didn't have strong gun control laws, he would probably end up shooting someone in a very public place. Our first house, couple next to us, was maybe 10 years older. Wife was as a sweetheart. Husband was rarely seen. She would go for walks with my wife, always check on us, and would stand outside at bus stop with other parents watching kids go and come back from school, even though her kids were gone or past that age. I always felt kids were a little bit safer outside because I just knew she was likely watching too. Husband, on other hand, worked bizarre hours. She said he was a CPA and had demanding clients, but he would come home at like 1 a.m. and turn around and leave at like 5 a.m. and occasionally wouldn't see him for a few days, but she confirmed all his clients were local. They had one kid at home, high school age, and he was pleasant enough for a teenager, and I never got weird vibes, but they had two daughters who rarely came home. She said the daughters couldn't wait to be on their own. One night my wife and her sat on back porch for a few hours, and she gave a creepy insight into his bedroom preferences to my wife. Apparently, he liked her to lie perfectly still, and he would just stare and play with her boobs for a legit 2 hours. She would just lie there and wait for it to be over. He either had second family or was a serial killer. We still exchange Christmas cards and Facebook pleasantries with her 15 years later. My wife will grab lunch with her once a year or so too, such a sweetheart trapped with a psychopath.